And welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents.
Next Thursday's Thanksgiving.
Happened too quickly this year, but it's good. It's good. And Thursday's food and dining is always good. Linda Gassenheimer is all set for her annual Thanksgiving 101 program. Today, she has an award-winning catering chef on hand. So we'll get turkey tips and foolproof advice for success, at least for those of us brave enough to put on the oven gloves or make a roux, right,
Bonnie's going to make a roux.
Right,
oh,
right.
Wow. Good for you, Bonnie.
Sure, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Okay, it's Turkey Day next week. It's so hard to believe that. So let me share with you some of the questions I've received over the years. Can you really throw your turkey in the swimming pool to defrost it? Or do I really have to cook it upside down to keep the breast juicy? And more practical questions like, how big a turkey do I need for 20 people? And here's the important one. How do I prevent a turkey from drying out and tasting like sawdust?
Well, how about should that packet that's inside stay in during cooking?
Yeah, or whatever else is in there. So our guest today was going to solve all of these problems. She's Elgin Woodman. She's the corporate chef for A. Joy Wallace Caterer. And welcome, Chef Elgin.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Boy, she brought some things for
us. It's our pleasure to have you. You fill the studio with food. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any Thanksgiving Day questions for our chef? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email is radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, and also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes columns, and you can also read his wine column in the Saturday Miami Herald. Fred, are we having Thanksgiving wine?
Absolutely. Not surprisingly, I'm going to talk about what kind of wine to serve with all that tasty Thanksgiving food.
I have a suspicion.
Well, maybe.
A few bubbles here and there, but we'll see.
A few.
Okay, Chef Elgin Woodman, what's the mystique here? So many people tell me they're afraid to cook a turkey, and I've heard tips salting it overnight, soaking it in beer, or creating a tent for food. To tell us, what's the best and easiest way to roast our turkey?
Well, if it were to be me making the turkey,
We'd all like you to do that, actually.
I do believe in brining the turkey, but I know that nowadays you buy a lot of these turkeys and they already come saturated with that salt water. So that's one. When you're buying your turkey, make sure that, you know, the salt content isn't that high so that you have control of the seasoning on your turkey. Also, I like making like a sage butter and putting in between the breast and the skin. So the actual breast, the meat actually picks up the flavor, not the skin of the turkey.
So, that's an idea. So you mix a little fresh sage into some butter.
Into some butter.
And then you carefully,
cold.
Carefully lift up the skin. And that's nice because then the fat drips off the skin.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it penetrates into the actual turkey meat.
Okay, so if I'm having 20 people, what size turkey should I buy?
Ooh.
Well, normally I believe in the 1 pound per person. Depends on how many, you know, who you're inviting, how much they're eating, how much food you have. So you may want to even go as high as 2 pounds per turkey, but I think that might be already pushing it. You might have a lot
of leftovers.
A lot of leftovers. And I think that depends too. If you want a lot of leftovers, then go for the 2 pounds. If you want exact, go for the 1 pound.
And then you just put it in the oven with a little stock in the bottom of the pan.
I like to cover it and just roast it slowly. I normally cook a turkey at 325 covered most of the time. And in the last 30 minutes, I'll take the foil out and just let it get that little nice golden color. And that will keep it nice and moist.
Well, that sounds delicious. Well, talk about delicious. We've got a lot of good food here. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what are we eating?
Well, I'll start with I brought a savory bread pudding just to get away from your classic stuffing. And it's pretty much just old bread. I use a baguette. And just with mushrooms, you make your basic custard of creams and eggs and maybe some garlic and onions. And then you just mix that with your bread and soak it. And then you can just lace it really with whatever. In this case, we did wild mushrooms and goat cheese and some baby arugula. And then you just bake it. And it's just more of like...
Makes it easier.
It makes it easier. You don't have to worry so much about the moisture. It's just okay, a two-step process.
I put that recipe. She gave you the recipe. That recipe's on my website, dinnerinminutes.com. So if you want to have a look at that recipe,
now, wait a minute. Stuffing without sage?
No, you can put sage. This case, I did thyme, but
you could do thyme and sage together.
Thyme and sage.
Okay.
You can make it whatever way, you know, whatever you like.
Okay.
You're in charge.
We have Daniel in Palm Beach Gardens. Hello, Daniel. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share with you something I've done over the years. It's really great, and I call it turkey a la rag. And I basically purchase a very absorbent rag, and I drape it over the turkey, and then with some juices, maybe orange juice or apricot juice, I will baste it every 20 or 30 minutes and keep that rag nice and moist. And that has helped me keep my turkey from drying up.
Well, that's very interesting. So he's serving a rag turkey. Thank you very much for that tip, Daniel.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you. So tell us, there's some very interesting, there's an empanada you've brought. Now, what's that?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I was just thinking, what do you do the next day with your leftovers that are not your typical sandwich or everybody says a turkey pot pie? So what I did is just pretty much anything you have left over, your stuffing, your sweet potatoes, it could be mashed potatoes, your turkey. It's a great way to use the scraps that are stuck to the bone of the turkey.
The best part.
That nobody eats. Right. So you can just, all that, you just mix it together. And then if you have any leftover pie dough, if you bought those, ready-made pie dough. And then you just cut it and you stuff it and you egg wash it and bake it.
And how do you make that crimp in it for the empanada?
Oh, that's just master hands. Practice.
You just
pinch
it.
It's just pinched.
It's pinched. But you've got something on top that's floating on top of those empanadas.
Oh, we just, after the egg wash, I sprinkled it with a little bit of celery seeds and powdered sugar.
Well, Elgin, I have a non-turkey question. If I'm doing four casseroles in an oven on two different shelves, how do I control the time and the temperature and everything?
What do you mean on two different shelves?
Yeah.
On two different racks in the oven, I should say.
Okay. Because the temperature, basically temperature, the middle of the oven is 350, if that's what it is, and then there's 25 degrees up or down depending on the rack.
Well, I think it depends on what you're cooking, what you want to be in less hotter area, I guess you put it in one part of the oven, and what's less temperature sensitive, you'll put it in the hotter portion of the oven. But I think I would ideally try to time things so that you're not in that situation versus trying to put everything in the oven that shouldn't really be cooked at the same temperature for the same amount of time.
And a convection oven makes it a constant temperature.
A convection oven is definitely
so
better.
Fred, what do you mean, like stuffing on one level and vegetables on another?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And do you have to switch them around halfway through the cooking?
It depends on what it is, I would think, Fred. You have to know that in an oven, the oven heats up from the bottom normally, and the heat goes to the roof of the oven, and it falls back down. So whatever's on the top shelf is going to be hotter, and you might want to cover it over because it might burn on the top. And if there's something on your middle shelf, the thing underneath it is being protected. So it's, I think switch it around, and it depends on what you're cooking. Don't you think, Elgin?
Yeah, I agree.
But Elgin, are you saying that maybe he should cook them at different times?
At different times. I think the key is planning ahead and, you know, making sure that everything is cooked, and maybe you just want to flash something in the oven together, not necessarily cook it, not start from scratch cooking in the oven at the same time.
Okay, now let's go back to some more of the food that she's brought because it's so delicious. You have little squares, and I love the way you've served it. They're stuck on a toothpick into the, you've got it like a sweet potato. It's a wonderful way to present it.
Oh, I was just making it look a little bit more attractive. But we just have little stands that we use for hors d'oeuvres in the catering. So we just presented the bread pudding as a taste for you on these little like stands, and we just put it on the butternut squash to make it fall.
Oh, that's butternut squash. I thought so. It's a cooked squash that's sitting like a boat,
right?
And then you have a little stand in it, and on the top of that, you've got the food standing up in it, and it looks so pretty.
It creates more movement on the platter versus everything being flat.
So you have different levels, mm-hmm. different heights on a platter. Yes. That's wonderful. And then the other thing that Joe just ate, I thought was a great idea.
Sorry.
It was there.
It was there. Do you remember what it was?
Yes. That was, a take good. On the classic Monte Cristo, which is a sandwich that is battered in egg and then pan-fried, almost like a French toast,
I guess
would be the technique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So instead of using bread, I grabbed the leftover bread stuffing and I pressed it to make it like a patty. And then I put turkey and cheese in the middle. And then I did another patty with the other less leftover bread pudding. So I sandwiched it. Then.
So you made the bread pudding like
not
a sandwich.
I'm sorry, the stuffing, bread stuffing.
The bread stuffing, you made it like a piece of bread.
Right, exactly. So
that's
it took the place
of
the bread, and then it got battered and pan-fried.
Elgin, ooh. Talk about the receptacles that you mm-hmm. have these things in, because they're so beautiful, and you say they're leaves.
Right, it's fallen pressed leaves are the little recyclable plates that I brought it in.
It's like a little cupcake size.
Yeah, beautiful.
And they come in different sizes and shapes, yeah. plates and bowls. And so nowadays, there's a lot of recycled disposables out there that, you know, you could also buy for your Thanksgiving dinner. You don't have to worry about so much washing.
Which is a very nice thing to have. And so that sounds great. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to come back with some more tips.
And dessert.
I've got the dessert over here by me, and I'm watching you, Fred Tesk. I'm watching you. I should watch Fred as well, but I'm watching you, Joe Cooper. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest today is Chef Elgin Woodman. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guest is A. Joy Wallace Caterers Corporate Chef Elgin Woodman. She's been giving us some great tips for no-fuss Thanksgiving dinner. And here's a note. This weekend, I'll be talking about my latest books, Quick and Easy Chicken and Delicious One-Pot Dishes, at the Miami Book Fair this Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. I'll be talking about it. But on Sunday, I'm going to be cooking. And come and see me. I've got a cooking demonstration from 2 to 3 at the Miami Culinary Institute. And yes, there will be food to taste, so come and join me. But right now, another food tip, it's dinner in minutes time. And dinner in minutes today is going to be something you can use for leftover turkey, or if you happen to have fresh turkey in the house, either way, is a turkey skillet casserole. And it's really perfect for leftovers. It's a one-pot dish. It has linguine in it. The linguine cooks right in the skillet with the other ingredients. You don't have to cook it in it. And Bonnie's looking at me like, is that really true? Yes, it is, Bonnie. And I also, as you know, I like to use frozen chopped onion, frozen chopped green bell pepper, because it saves on the cutting up time, the prep time. I just want the flavor. I'm not looking for the texture. So I saute the turkey, if I'm using fresh turkey, the onion, the green pepper in the skillet. I add pasta sauce, I add some water, some mushrooms, and the linguine, and bring it to a simmer, cover it, and let it cook on its own for a few minutes. Then I add some fresh spinach, a little basil, and just stir it until the spinach wilts. That's maybe a 5-10 minute dish. That's it. I sprinkle it with a little cheddar cheese. I top it with maybe some sour cream. And if you're going to use leftover turkey, then just add that at the end when the pasta's been cooked, so it'll warm in the sauce. The recipe is from my book, Delicious One-Pot Dishes, and the complete recipe and photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking for Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, wine for Thanksgiving comes in three phases, I think. First, you have the welcoming wine. Then you have the dinner wine, and then maybe most important, you have wine for leftovers, like your turkey skillet casserole.
Okay.
So first you have the welcoming wine. I always like to hand each guest a glass of bubbly as they enter the home.
That's a surprise, Fred.
Isn't it? Well, you know, it's a nice gesture, and it goes well with the raw veggies and hummus that you're suffering through while they smell the rest of the sumptuous meal cooking. And
thank you,
now,
Fred.
Scharfenberger of California makes a nice bubbly in the $20 range. That's a very nice thing to have. And second, wine for the meal. Now, you're not ever going to perfectly pair wine with every flavor when you're serving turkey, gravy, potatoes, yams, cranberry sauce, etc. So what is the answer? I chicken out, actually. I put out a bottle or two of white and a bottle or two of red and let people choose for themselves.
He's not turkeying out, he's chicken out. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, turkeying out, okay.
Okay, good.
And for the white, I like a Trivento Chardonnay from Argentina. That's Trivento. That's nice because it is a multiple grape blend. It has Chardonnay, Viognier, and Pinot Grigio. So multiple flavors on the table, multiple grapes in the wine. Or if you want a red wine, the McManus Family Zinfandel from California is pretty good, and it's only $11. And then, of course, when the indulgent pumpkin and pecan pies come out, you can pour each guest a dessert wine.
You're still able to stand up or drink by then.
Well, this is all in moderation, as they always say, you know.
Okay, good.
You can pour a little glass of sweet port wine, maybe a Graham's 10-year-old tawny wine for about $30 a bottle. But just give them a little glass, just a little taste. You don't want to have too much. But now we come to the good part, wine for leftovers.
Okay.
To me, one of life's finest moments is when you stand in front of an open refrigerator at 4 a.m. the next day and pull chunks of turkey from the cold bird without even taking it out of the fridge. Now, that is bliss.
That's when it tastes the best, right?
Absolutely. Now, for this, the perfect wine, especially this year, is a red Beaujolais Nouveau. As you know, this is an extra fruity young wine that's the first wine released from this year's harvest in France. And as it happens today, this very day, the third Thursday in November, is its official release date. Now, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm hearing good things about it. So what I recommend is go out and buy one bottle of Beaujolais for Thanksgiving and one for right now to toast our solidarity with our friends, the French, in their time of trouble. And then just say, vive la France.
Absolutely. That's what we all say, vive la France. Mm-hmm. And good luck. Fred Thasker, thank you very much. And Fred, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you.
Thanks.
Yes, friend.
So, Chef Algin, give us a game plan. Can we make anything in advance?
I think that's the key. When you're planning your Thanksgiving, think of the menu and think of anything that you can do. Trying to incorporate as many room temperature or cold items into your menu so that you're not last minute cooking everything and you're able to just like sit down and enjoy and just wait for the turkey to be ready.
So you could go shopping now, right?
Yes.
Don't wait till the last day.
I would definitely go shopping now, have a game plan, obviously, I work for a catering company. We're all very organized, so we have prep lists day by day when we're going to prepare what, and just do that so that the day of you're not stressing out.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good idea is to make your list. What can I buy today? What can I make and freeze? I mean, you can make your pies and freeze them for the most part. You could freeze the stuffing, couldn't you? Yes.
Yes, definitely.
And if I want to make What about mashed potatoes? I mean, how far in advance can I make those?
I think mashed potatoes, you can make them as soon as 2 to 3 days before Thanksgiving and just bring them up to temperature when you're ready.
Not freezing them,
just in the refrigerator.
I was able to find a mashed potato recipe in a slow cooker, and can have it, keep it on warm for a couple hours as you're waiting for the rest of dinner to get done.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, that's very good. So when you say bring it up to temperature, what did you mean?
Well, what I would do is I would have my mashed potatoes in my pot, and I would have a small pot on the side with just warm milk or cream. And then when that's hot, I would pour that into my mashed potatoes. That will warm it up a little bit, and you're not starting with the ice-cold mashed potatoes. And then just in a low temperature, you can stir it, or you can also heat it up in a bain-marie or in a water bath, and that way you can just really walk away and not worry about it burning or drying, and it'll just like slowly
come up. And that's a good idea.
But
make sure the cream or the milk is
warm
when it goes in, not cold.
So right, warm, and then that way you're not starting from ice cold.
Okay, and what about our gravy? That's so annoying because you've got the turkey, and of course you want the turkey to sit for 20 minutes at least before you carve it. And then everybody's having a good time, and you're wandering around trying to make the gravy last minute. What can we do about that?
Start with the stock, and if you just make your gravy with stock, and you can make it ahead of time, you can use those pieces that come inside the turkey that should not be inside the turkey when you're baking it. That is what you use to make your stock and make your gravy. And then I would just thicken it up. While the turkey is cooking, you can just spoon some of the fat out of the pan and make a roux with that. And
now, what do you mean by a roux? Because we started the program with Bonnie making a roux. She has no idea what that is.
Oh, yes,
now, Linda, yes, I do.
What is a roux, Chef?
A roux is equal parts flour to butter. or fat just, in this case. And then you just warm them over the stove, and that's a thickening agent. And it's much better than cornstarch. Please do not use cornstarch to make your gravy.
Because it gets goopy.
It's gross.
But you have to cook the flour taste out of it, right?
Yes, you cook off the flour out, the flour taste.
I want everybody to know that while she's talking, you know she's a chef because she's stirring with her hands and she's making the whole meal with her hands while she's doing that. So that's very good. Just we only have about a minute left. Safety tips, what do we want to be careful of?
Mm-hmm. I think key, if you do want leftovers, you have to take care of your leftovers. You can't leave them out throughout the evening. You have to make sure that you refrigerate it as soon as you can. Also, your defrosting of your turkey. You want to make sure you either defrost it in the refrigerator for 3 or 4 days, or if you do the I try to avoid the defrosting in the sink with the water. I find that to not be as sanitary. And then also the contamination of everything.
How about done temperature without having it dry?
I pull my turkey between 155 to 160, and I just can let it carry over cooking on its own.
Because
I think if you do
usually
wait for
says 165,
right?
Yes.
You want it to be 165 when you go to serve it, not necessarily when you're pulling it out of the oven. At least that's the way I do it.
Don't rely on those pop-up thermometers that come inside the turkey.
I think the best thing is that gadget, that thermometer that you can just see the temperature outside that you poke into the turkey, and it's outside of the oven because
there's an alarm. Yeah.
There is an alarm. You're looking at it. It's you don't have to be opening and closing the oven. So I think that's I would buy one
idea.
Of those.
Okay, don't leave all the food out on the counter for 2 hours.
Yes.
And then refrigerate it and then take it out the next day, leave another 4 hours.
Right, and then eat it 5 days later.
Exactly. Don't do it. It's been a really tasty week.
I just had some strawberry shortcake.
The dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's got cornbread with the strawberries on
cornbread
it.
Cornbread with strawberries.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And lemon zest.
And Bonnie took all the whipped cream from me. She just took the whole thing of whipped cream.
I didn't take it. You gave it to me.
I gave it to you, Bonnie, because I'm nice to you.
Use a little whipped cream.
Okay, Chef Elgin, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. Happy Thanksgiving.
She's corporate chef for A. Joy Wallace Caterer. She can be reached at ajwallace.com. I'd like to wish everyone a happy, happy, delicious Thanksgiving. We'll be back in 2 weeks with my annual favorite kitchen gadget program. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.